From two beautifully scenic and historic locations, the Hudson Valley, New York, and Willow, Alaska. This is the Side Vibe, brought to you by Dog Works Radio. Your hosts are author, journalist, and photographer, the Five Sides mom, Dorothy Wills Raftery, and Dog Works Radio executive producer, canine behaviorist, trainer, and lead musher of Team Aneke, Robert Forto. The Saib Vibe is all about the magnificent breed of the Siberian Husky. From training to grooming, and for those who show and breed, from parenting to playing and rescuing huskies in need, whether mushing over snow-covered trails or lounging on tropical shores, even for Hollywood Sibes on the big silver screen and so very much more. If it's about a Siberian Husky, we'll chat about it here.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto, hosting from Willow, Alaska, and fall is in full swing up here, getting ready to run some sled dogs in the next couple of weeks. Looking forward to that. And calling in from the Hudson Valley of New York is Dorothy Wills Raftery. We have not been on the air since our face-to-face meeting and show when we were up in New York in July, so I'm glad that we are back on the air after a month or so. That was our August pre-recording for our anniversary. But otherwise, Dorothy is back and everything is looking good on your end. Is that right?
It is. And, you know, before we get into it, I just want to say that doing the show live with you was so much fun. It was so great having you and Michelle there in person. And, you know, first time we had a live audience for the Side Vibe, and that was really pretty cool. It was a great experience. It was really great to be actually sitting right next to you.
It was fun. Even though we were in a hotel lobby and the news was on and people were eating their continental breakfast, I still thought it was a great time. It was so much fun to meet you guys and hang out with the pups over there at your house and have an excellent lunch. I was so happy that we're able to finally connect after all this time. It was a fun time.
I know, and I know you and I talk a lot about the power of, like, social media and, like, our broadcast, and this is just, like, an exact example of how wonderful it really can be, bringing different people from all over together, and we were actually a great example of that, and, you know, it was just wonderful to host you here, and it's funny because you say that about being in the lobby, and, you know, at first, we're trying to work out the mics and being live, and then actually it just turned out to be such a cool thing because you just felt part of the vibe, really part of the community, so it was really awesome.
It was awesome. So I'm glad we're back. We have a full show today, and we're looking forward to some exciting updates we're going to talk about here in just a second. But what's happened over in your neck of the woods? I know one of your pups, Harley, had a little bit of a surgery this week. Is that right?
She did. Our Harley girl, who, as you know, is the star of my Getting Healthy with Harley, she actually just went through a little health scare of herself. She underwent a dewclaw removal surgery, Robert. About a month ago, she was treated for an infection there in the dewclaw. And that happened because I spotted something kind of odd on her paw. And she was very snarly. We actually were nicknaming her Snarly Harley because it was like, why, you couldn't see anything under the fur, just this little spot. And I was like, what's wrong? I said, okay. So we took her into the vet, and he shaved it down. And I do have pictures over on my Five Sides blog, which is at fivesides.blogspot.com. And I kind of cataloged the couple of days that we went through with her. So when he shaved her down, actually, it's probably been a couple months, when he shaved her down, her whole paw was pretty inflamed and red, and she really must have had quite an infection in there. So there was no lump to say, though, just this little strange spot. So she was put on antibiotics, and it appeared to clear up. Fast forward a couple weeks, and in the middle of the night, I woke up to the sound of continuous licking. I flicked on the light, and there's Harley with blood all over her face. And, of course, you know, most of her face is white. Robert, I can't even remember my feet touching the floor because I jumped up and I went over there to her. And it's with RA and a bad hip, it's quite amusing to see me try to actually move this fast. So I'm trying to get to her. I flick on, you know, I flick the light on, get the flashlight, and I look at it closer, and I'm thinking we're sleeping. The other dogs are sleeping. Nothing happened. What in the world was going on? So I washed her up. and I started to do a check, and then I noticed where she had that infection, there was now a new actual lump under the dew claw, and that was what was the source of the bleeding. So off to the vet we went, where she suspected it was a tumor, definitely an infection, and she conducted some x-rays, and it showed that it looked like it appeared to start eating away at the bone in there. She was scheduled, went in for surgery last Monday, and they removed the dew claw digit, and there was a very deep abscess in there. The pathology report has since come back. Thankfully, it is benign, other than having a very severe deep infection. She's healing well. Her bandages come off tomorrow, and I just put a post up this morning, as some of our listeners and readers already know. She is feeling so much better, and I'm so thankful because, again, we have such a fabulous community, and all the support and the PAW circle of prayers and healing vibes and good thoughts and comments that have been coming in have been so wonderful. So thank you, everybody, for that. She is doing good, and just a reminder, you know, check those PAWs and dew claws because there's something else. I don't know if you have you had. Now, I know dew claws can also get damaged by working dogs, such as sled dogs. Have you had any experience with that, Robert?
I haven't had any of those tumor slash infection type problems. We typically remove all of the dew claws very early on just so they don't get caught on booties and that sort of thing. But, you know, when you talk about cancer, that is a scary thing for all dog owners. I remember years ago we had a guest on, a cancer researcher, and he said that a majority of our dogs are going to die of cancer, and a lot of it is related to the diet that we feed them, and that's very unfortunate. So, you know, I think that that is the biggest cause of death for dogs is cancer, and it's always important to be hyper-vigilant when you do see those bumps and things. A lot of times they are just, you know, fatty tumors, and you know, fluid pockets and stuff like that. But it's definitely important to take a look and, you know, spare the expense and do what you have to do to take them in.
Absolutely. I mean, Harley does have a fatty tumor as well, but, you know, we had that aspirated. We had it biopsied. You know, we keep an eye on it. And as you said, not every lump means it's cancer, but every lump should be checked.
Right, right. What else?
Now, well, Robert, before I introduce today's guest, I wanted to ask you, I know there's going to be some changes here at the Sci-Vibe, starting with next month's October episode, and I just thought maybe if you care to briefly share that with our listeners and explain what that will mean for us.
Yes, we are going to start recording our show on this end at our local community radio station, KBRF 89.7 here in the Matsu Valley, and we hope to put this show in the rotation there, which will be very interesting to have a show with a guest from here locally and a guest in New York on a local community station. So that will be fun. But we're also going to launch an app probably right around the first of the year. This is something I've been trying to figure out for 3 or 4 years, and I just didn't have the technical ability to do so. So having the ability to record at the studio is going to change the file type of the file that we create when we do internet radio. So it's a different type of file, without getting too technical, that will allow us to be on an app, pretty much the non-techie way of explaining that. And I know we've talked about this before, but what's going to happen is the Sci-Vibe is going to have their own day on our app, and the shows will run in a continuous 24-hour cycle during that day, very similar to as if you were listening to the radio in the car. You press play, you can listen away. You won't listen to the show from the very beginning or very end. You'll just pick it up as if you turned on the radio. Now, when we do our live shows, they will be always at 1 p.m. on Sunday, just like they are now Eastern time, 1 p.m. So when you are wanting to tune into the show like we're doing today, it will be there just at 1 o'clock, just like a regular show would be on the radio or on the TV. So exciting stuff. I'm looking forward to it. The only drawback, Dorothy, I know you and I talked about it, is it has to be less than a half an hour because there's hard breaks or commercial breaks at the beginning and the end. So we cannot run over like we do now. And unfortunately, I know for the past 4 years or so, we've been doing an hour show. So you really got to compress all of those great questions you asked those guests, and hopefully we still have excellent shows and excellent guests, which I think we will.
Or we have to talk really fast, right?
Or talk really fast.
You know us New Yorkers can do that.
Yes, we can.
But, and I know we'll be explaining more of this as we go along, and I'll be sure to keep all of our listeners and up to date as well what it means for them. But for them to tune in and listen, they can still go to iTunes and still pick up our past shows if they want to hear them, or to the website. That archive will still be there?
Yes, all of that will be the same. They can download it on iTunes. They can subscribe on iTunes, meaning they would get an email or alert or however they set it up now, where the new shows will come in on iTunes or on their iPhone. But the big deal is the app where all of our shows will reside. And then just like any other radio app that you may have, like Pandora or Sirius XM or, you know, your local radio stations or whatever, it's going to be a live stream 24/7, 365, which is very important.
It's going to be pretty cool, and we'll have more information, and you can follow that at r5sides.blogspot.com and also at dogworksradio.com/the-vibe, and we'll keep everybody up to date on what's happening before our next show. And Robert, before I introduce today's guest, I just want to give two special shout-outs, one to a very special Siberian Husky girl who's going to be turning 16 soon, and that's Faith DeBaldo.
Wow.
And I know she and her mom and Jeanette are tuning in today, and Robert, you may remember when Jeanette was actually on the show a couple years ago, and she was discussing her alternative health care for Faith that included AquaTread therapy, acupuncture, chiropractor, and the stem cell therapy. This is that Faith.
Right.
So folks can also, if they want to find out more about the alternative therapy she goes through, you can check that out on the episode on our homepage for the Side Vibe at dogworksradio.com. So I want to send out a big hi to Jeanette and big early Husky birthday hugs to Faith. I also want to send out a big hello on a personal note again to my niece, Melinda, and her two sons, my two nephews, Eric and Aiden, who are absolute buddies with our five Sibes. The boys just started back to school. It's a big rite of passage. Eric's now a high schooler. Aiden started first grade. So, hi, boys. The Huskies miss you. Which, speaking of school, it's September. So, Robert, that means it's back to school time in a lot of areas. Our guest today is Samira Majub Tapia, who is a parent to two rescue Siberian Huskies, and that's Chili the therapy dog and Frosty, both from Husky Camp in Wrightwood, California. As a working dog, Chili brings smiles to many, including kids at local schools, children, adults at local libraries, and residents of nursing homes. He also goes to college to help de-stress students from exams. I find that really interesting, so I can't wait to talk more about that. And Chili and Samira are members of BARC, and that's Beach Animals Reading with Kids Therapy Dogs. And you can check out BARC's website at barkdogs.org. Samira is actually also no stranger to our show, as she has previously been on as one of our guests back in May 2014 on our show about Nanook, the husky who was burned in a fire. And Robert, I know that you remember this that particular episode. We actually just talked about that at our live show. She had joined us with Nanook's Hugh Mom to share the family's harrowing experience, and I am happy to report Nanook has just recently celebrated his fourth birthday. So happy birthday to Nanook,
awesome.
And that's great news. Samira lives in Los Angeles with her husband, Baby, and Huskies, Chili and Frosty. She's a second-generation real estate professional who made a leap from running an internet startup. She loves helping out her community, and she is a longtime dog rescue volunteer with two dog farms, Korean Jindo Rescue. Now, combining two of her passions, each of her house sales benefits dog rescue, which I think is amazing. She can also be found visiting schools and libraries with Chili. After attending agility training with Samira, Chili's obedience and love of meeting strangers led his parents to BARC therapy dogs. That was founded in 2007 and headed by Josie Gavaris. And BARC is an all-volunteer program that encourages children to increase their reading skills and self-confidence by reading aloud to certified therapy dogs. According to BARC, quote, students find it intimidating to read in front of classmates but love to read to the non-judgmental calming dogs. BARC now has 170 teams listening to kids in more than 100 schools and libraries in California, unquote. Samira and Chili work once a week at South LA schools for 3 years and have volunteered at a local library for a few years. He also visits nursing homes and colleges, as I said earlier. And Samir says Chili thrives despite his own health challenges because he has an autoimmune hepatitis and he is a cancer survivor, Robert. Samir says Chili loves potatoes and fish, hanging out with his family, especially mom, and going on long, sniffy walks. She said he picked out his little sister, Frosty, after a couple-hour speed dating adventure with the available Husky girls from Husky Camp. He claims he was tricked, though, and prefers being an only dog, but, she says, he can sometimes be seen cuddling up to Frosty. You can follow Samir's adventures over at theartofhouses.com. Now, I want to just say welcome to Samira. I'm so excited to have you back on the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be back on the show. We love listening to you guys and reading about all of your adventures and our best wishes to Harley on her on getting well.
Thank you. It's always so nice to hear that. Now, I want to jump right in here because I know there's a tagline, buy or sell a house, help a dog. And I know you donate a portion of all your real estate commissions to two dog farms, Korean Jindo Rescue.
Yes.
And that's a local grassroots organization, right, that helps.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great. And they help build community members, help the community members keep their dogs through training and education. They also rescue dogs from kill shelters through Southern California. And I know our folks, as I said before, they can read more about that through twodogfarms.com. That is so wonderful. You know, how do your clients react to knowing that you donate a part of your commission to help homeless dogs through the Korean Jindo Rescue?
They absolutely love it. They really react to it. There's so many dog lovers in Los Angeles that it really sets us apart. And it's not just lip service. You know, I've been volunteering mm-hmm. for these guys forever, and I love being able to bring them additional revenue in order to help a dog get bailed out of a shelter, buying a leash in order to lead them to their freedom, buying them a bowl because that may be the first bowl that they've ever had. So it's really, really gratifying. And we actually had a seller choose us out of 22 offers for my buyer to buy their house because of our rescue connection. So that's wonderful.
Oh, that's really great. And again, you know, folks can follow you over at theartofhouses.com. You know, if you are in California and you're a dog lover, you know, and you're looking for a house or selling a house, just know that, you know, if you go through Samira, you're helping homeless dogs. So I think that is just so commendable. Now, can you also tell us about the two dog farms, Korean Jindo Rescue, of which I understand you're a founding volunteer member, is that right?
Right, absolutely. And a lot of people ask me, Samira, you have Huskies. Why do you help Jindos? Well, but both of them absolutely need a lot of help here in Southern California. We have a rescue issue of crisis proportions. Going back to Huskies, there's about 300 to 500 Huskies that go through the SoCal kill shelter system every month. And this is mostly completely purebred Huskies that you or I would recognize as our dogs. Mm-hmm. So it's absolutely imperative that everyone here definitely support rescue. And I commend you for sharing rescue all the time. And thank you so much for sharing Huskies when I share them with you. So that's wonderful.
Absolutely.
I initially got involved because someone on Facebook had shared a dog that kind of looked like Chili. It was a kind of a hazy picture from the shelter, so you kind of couldn't tell what it is. And I forwarded it to Husky Camp, and Chuck, who's one of the founders of Husky Camp, was wonderful. And she's like, Samira, that's actually a Jindo. So there I was Googling a Los Angeles Jindo Rescue, and I came across Two Dog Farms, which Rosalind Behenna and her husband, Philip, had just started. And she said, if you can find a foster, if you can get the dog and transport it to the foster and arrange all that, we will take the dog. So that was my first, you know, real foray into rescue after just, you know, finding a neighbor's dog and finding rescue and understanding the kill shelter system. That was kind of a small intro, but this was the first time that I really volunteered. And they were so wonderful and so welcoming, and it was such a gratifying experience that I volunteered to, hey, if there's another Jindo in a shelter here in South Los Angeles, I'll go check it out. And so I started checking out dogs and then driving to some other shelters and helping out. And then more volunteers came online, and we would both share our experiences with them and kind of train them on what we do. And that's really, we're now one of the world's largest active Jindo rescues, which is very much needed here in Southern California, because we have the largest Korean population outside of Seoul here in Los Angeles. So we try to do what we can and really educate people about the breed, which in some ways are very similar to Siberian Huskies and some ways aren't. But my Husky experience very much comes into play with that, especially because they're also escape artists. Mm-hmm. And I just love helping out new parents, new fosters, and new volunteers.
So now you're the proud mom to two Siberian Huskies, as we said earlier. That was Chili, who is 10, and Chili is the certified therapy dog, and Frosty is his little sister. How did you first get interested in Siberian Huskies? And I know you talked about you got in contact with Husky Camp. So I'm just, you know, if you can talk a little bit about finding them there and, you know, what is it about the Husky?
Yeah, absolutely. So I had always loved Huskies, and my husband and I, when we were dating, we would go hiking here in Runyon Canyon, and you're allowed to have dogs off leash there. So we would see dogs and just kind of dream about what dog we would get once we had a house, because I was working too much and we had an apartment to have a dog. So we did a lot of research, because we knew that you had to research the breed and really understand what you were getting into. And we really wanted to rescue. So there was some incorrect information about Jindos out there, which we had seen some Jindos, and someone erroneously had written on Wikipedia that they only bond to their first owner, which is completely ridiculous, as some of them have bonded to me by the time I drop them off at their foster home, like an hour later after picking them up. We actually moved over here into our home, and we moved across the street from Nanook and his parents. And at the time, they just had Sasha, the girl husky, and we all met each other out on the street one night after an earthquake. It was like the middle of the night, and we all got to know each other. And when Nanook's mom had some ankle issues, I ended up pet sitting Sasha a little bit and taking her out on hikes and taking her for walks after work. And I realized I was actually capable of taking care of a Siberian Husky. And I was so excited about that, because I had always been attracted to them. I'm originally from Canada, and it's kind of cliche, you know, for a Canadian to have a Siberian Husky, but we are here in Southern California, and they're at the time, there weren't that many. Unfortunately, it's really exploded, with the backyard breeders, but at the time, not so many. So I started researching rescues, and we helped out at some rescues. And then we were really cognizant of the fact that you have to set your life up for success with the dog and make sure that the dog matches your lifestyle and that the personality matches what you're looking for. So we went to go see a lot of dogs, and we did not want a puppy because we worked. And we knew that puppies needed a lot of attention and time. So we're looking for kind of a mellow husky. And I think about 3 or 4 months after we started looking, we found Chili at Husky Camp. And at the time, we were looking for a smaller girl that was similar to Sasha. She was about 45 pounds, and it was a girl, and we just thought, oh, that's kind of more manageable. So we walk into the Husky Camp adoption event, and it's puppy, 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 and giant red dog. And I was like, oh, okay, well, there's no one here today. So we went to say hi to Chuck and John, who run the rescue, and they're like, hey, you know, this red dog, he really needs a walk. He hasn't had a walk yet. Can you just, like, take him around the block? And we were like, yeah, sure. So we take him around the block, and before we even get around the building, I'm turning to Manny saying, this is our dog. He is calm. He's great on leash. He's sweet. My husband, Manny, was like, oh, okay, well, let's just see. So we take him around the neighborhood. We walk him past some roadkill, and he doesn't even flinch. We walk him past some house where the dogs are going crazy barking at him, and he does not bark back. And we end up getting back to the little area where the adoption event is, and we sit down on a bench. And someone comes out of a store and says, oh, that's a good-looking dog you got there. And he's just kind of chilling at our feet and being the wonderful dog he is. And my husband finally turns to me and says, you're right, this is our dog.
Oh, that's so wonderful. And, you know, that is such a great point, too, because sometimes people have, you know, a particular idea in their head, and they go in if they don't see it. And, you know, sometimes if you can just volunteer, help out, walk the dogs, foster the dogs, sometimes people can be really surprised by what they think they want when they go in, but truly love when they leave. So that's
absolutely
really great. Now, you're
absolutely
also, you're very devoted to your community, and I know you've been a foster dog parent many times. And can you just tell us about helping out your own community, including the dogs who need homes?
Sure, absolutely. So we live in Los Angeles, and there's a lot of kill shelters. So unfortunately, there's multiple issues that contribute to that factor. There's a lot of landlords that will not that will not rent to folks with dogs for various different reasons. So unfortunately, you know, if people are forced to move for whatever reason and the cost of living is quite high here, people are forced to abandon their dogs. There's also, you know, various socioeconomic conditions that contribute to someone not being able to support their dog, or perhaps there was a medical issue on their part or something like that. We had one incident actually shortly after Nanook's fire, where the shelter had notified us that someone was turning in their two dogs because they had a fire. One of their dogs unfortunately perished. They had two left. They were forced to go to a shelter overnight that would not take dogs. And there was nothing, they didn't have any friends who could take the dogs. Their landlords didn't allow dogs. So their only option was to surrender the dogs. So they actually came up with a situation where Downtown Dog Rescue is a wonderful local rescue here that helps out the community. They have an intervention program, and they paid for a pet-friendly motel for a few days while they got them situated. So once we heard up about that situation, Anouk's mom and I, we gathered up all of the extra donations that folks had given them that were duplicates, and I canvassed amongst all my friends and family in order to help them out. So we actually, they had found them a new apartment, and we helped them furnish that apartment. We got them clothes. We got them household items. So there's various things that, you know, we love to do to help out the community. In terms of Jindos, there's a lot of folks that may adopt a Jindo and not understand what their temperament is like and how to really manage the dogs. They're kind of like Shiba Inus. They're a little cat-like sometimes. Just like Huskies, they're stubborn, and they really need a strong leader and someone who's consistent. So we also do a lot of outreach with folks that are either coming to surrender their Jindos, or they're having some behavioral problems that may result in them surrendering their Jindo to a kill shelter. So we try to help out and provide them with training and coaching. And we're, you know, I always tell folks, you know, I'm available via text 24/7. If you have an emergency situation at 3 a.m., I am happy to answer your question, because we've been through this before.
That's
and
really
a Chili, okay. Yeah, Chili was a wonderful dog. Frosty was a challenge, so I feel like you get the dog you need versus the dog you want, and she's the one that really taught me about a dog that's a handful, and that allows me to help others.
That's really fantastic. Now, which would lead me into back to talking about fostering. So whether it's a Korean Jindo or a Siberian Husky, you know, whichever is the right, what people think is the right breed for them, how helpful is it for them to foster the dog?
Oh, absolutely helpful. And I always say that the next dog that we adopt, we will foster first. You really don't know what a dog is like in your home with your family until it's been there a few weeks. And we have fostered a ton of dogs, and sometimes, you know, you get the dog and they're so adorable and you're willing to make some sacrifices just because they're so darn adorable. Kind of like Chance, the Husky Shepherd that I fostered for a long time, and I know you know how adorable he is. And once you get into day-to-day life, you realize this is an amazing dog, but perhaps not for my family.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's wonderful to be able to match them up with the right family and then turn around and foster another dog. And so at Two Dog Farms, we always ask that folks do a trial adoption where you're fostering to adopt for a few weeks to see whether the dog is right for your family. Because we want it to be a successful adoption, and we want to help you through that initial transition period. And after the transition period, you'll be able to really assess, this is a wonderful dog and it's for me, or this is a wonderful dog and this dog would be great for another family. Perhaps it's too active for you. Perhaps the dog is, you know, a little too needy in terms of affection or something. Perhaps, you know, there's something with it, it's not a great personality fit. And it's wonderful to be able to say, this is not my dog, but I will keep this dog until we find their forever home.
That's wonderful. Now, if you're just tuning in, this is the Side Vibe on Dog Works Radio, and we are talking with Samira Majub Tapia, mom to two rescue Siberian Huskies, Chili and Frosty, both from Husky Camp Rescue. Chili is now a registered therapy dog and member of the BARC Beach Animals Reading with Kids Therapy Dogs, and you can follow Samira's adventure and her rescue work at twodogfarms.com and theartofhouses.com, and check out the beautiful Huskies waiting for a forever home over at Husky Camp at www.huskycamp.com. And for more info on BARC, you can check out their website at www.barkdogs.org and follow them over on Facebook and Twitter at BARC Reading Dogs. Links to these sites are also listed on our show's website at dogworksradio.com/the-side-vibe.com, and will be coming up soon in a blog post over at 5sides.blogspot.com and on my 5sides Siberian Husky Canine News and Reviews Facebook page. And you can always catch both Robert and I if you have any questions or you need some information on any of our broadcasts. We're over on Twitter at dogworksradio and also 5sidesmom. Now, how and when did you decide that you wanted to do work with Chili? And for folks who are interested in doing this, what are the steps to start training for a dog of this type of work?
Oh, great question. So I knew about therapy dogs, and I always thought it was such a cool thing. It wasn't really, you know, something I had set out to do when we adopted Chili. But I was familiar with BARC dogs through the Honda Element community. I have a Honda Element, and so does Josie, and she was actually gifted with one from Honda, Southern California Honda, for her work with helping kids. And also through the Siberian community, I had joined It's a Husky Thing, which was a forum, and Denise and her dog Frankie were doing therapy dog work, and I just found that so wonderful. So we had Chili maybe about a year, and I was doing doing training with him, and he just has such a wonderful disposition. He loves meeting new people. We call him Chili because he was so chill. He was just so calm. And I kind of call him a bomb-proof dog, where you can drop something and he doesn't even start. He absolutely loves it. Anything can go on around him, and he's Mr. Cool. Everywhere I went, people were petting him and greeting him, and a few people had said, oh, he'd be a great therapy dog. So eventually, after we had done the agility program, I thought, you know, perhaps, you know, let's apply. This would be really fun to do with him. What I love about therapy dog work is, you know, every one of us loves our dogs. But this is a way to share that love of your dog with other folks who perhaps can't have dogs, or they don't have a dog, and it's so wonderful to see other people love Chili. So that's a really gratifying part of the therapy dog work. And he just loves it. He just loves meeting people. So for folks that are interested, I would definitely take a look to make sure that the dog would love doing this type of work, that they, you know, actively love to meet people, that they are calm, that they, you know, react in a positive way to situations. Because sometimes you never know what's going to come up. I have walked on to a playground at recess and been mobbed by 40 kids with Chili. So the dog has to react positively to things like that. For that reason, his sister Foxy will probably never be a therapy dog. She's had a little harder start at life than Chili, and she was a little skittish when we got her, and she still exhibits some of that. So definitely make sure that your dog will enjoy it as much as you do.
Now, how do you prepare Chili for a work day?
I'd like to make sure that we have a calm day. Every dog, you know, has their threshold at which point that they become stressed out. Every single dog, even a wonderful bomb-proof dog like Chili. So I like to make sure that we have a calm day, and that he's really looking forward to getting out there and meeting people and just, you know, being on for however many hours we are there. And another thing is I also take a look at his body language, and I make sure that he's not stressed out, and I make sure that I'm his advocate, and I'm making sure that the kids aren't trying to pick him up or pulling his tail or pulling his ears, and that they're being respectful. A big part of our visits is teaching children about dog safety, and teaching kids what's acceptable to do with a dog and what's not, and teaching them dog behavior. Like, you know, a lot of dogs don't really love hugs. Like, your dog may be conditioned to love hugs after a while, but a lot of dogs may see that as intimidating, and it's one of the top causes of child bites. So we like to make sure that we use Chili's visits for good as well.
Now, what are some of the reactions that you get when Chili goes to school? I mean, he's a working dog, but, you know, when he goes to school, I can imagine there must be lots of excitement.
Oh, absolutely. There's so many kids that love him, and, you know, they'll yell out, Snow Dog, Husky, Chili. At the school, everybody knows Chili, and it was like, you know, hundreds and hundreds of kids that know Chili because we did assemblies and introduced him to the kids, so it's wonderful. Sometimes you get folks that are intimidated by him. He's a rather large Husky. We actually had him DNA tested because he's more Malamute size. But he is 100% Siberian Husky. And some folks are intimidated, and they think he looks wolfy because he has the mask. So sometimes it's a matter of just educating folks that are afraid of dogs or afraid of big dogs, especially in southern Los Angeles. Maybe culturally the kids have not come across a lot of large dogs that are friendly. There's a culture of perhaps keeping your dog outside or keeping your dog chained, which a lot of the rescues and organizations are working on. So they haven't met a large friendly dog. So part of that is introducing them to a large friendly dog and teaching them about dog safety.
Now, some folks may be asking, can dogs really help children read? According to BARC, a study at UC Davis, and that was in February of 2010, showed that kids in reading dog programs increased their reading skills by 12% to 20% over kids not in reading dog programs. They said that because of their volunteers are certified as therapy dog teams, they can also visit hospitals, nursing homes, and other locations. Also, according to BARC, educators they have worked with report 82% of BARC students increase their reading skills, self-confidence, and or class participation. I find that absolutely phenomenal. So, Samir, from your experience with Chili, what is it about having a dog there that helps to encourage these students to read?
I absolutely think the part about them being non-judgmental is a huge part of it. We worked with a lot of kids at the school who perhaps were having some issues at home or previously in their life that they had trouble concentrating in school, or they just didn't have that self-confidence. So having Chili there, he was like, you know, their little coach, their little buddy, and they got to pet him while they're reading. It also made them feel special. So if you're being picked out of 900 kids to read with Chili, and also we told the other kids that they were picked to help train Chili for his work. So they weren't necessarily told it was a remedial reading program. So when you're special, it gives you that boost of self-confidence. And we had a child who was in the principal's office every single day for problems. and behavioral problems. And towards the end of the program, he was walking through the halls with his head high. And I attached a second leash to Chili, and I let him hold that second leash while we walked through the school to his classroom. And it's just amazing to see the difference in 8 weeks.
Now, we also mentioned that Chili helps to de-stress college students during exams, and I find that very interesting. How does that happen?
Absolutely. So there's a lot of various colleges here in Los Angeles, and we have helped out at a local law school. So I always like to joke that Chili's going to law school today. I better be careful. He's going to start looking in his adoption contract about the frequency of trees. And it's great. They really just like love to, they love to hug him. They love to kiss him. They love to pet him. It's something completely different, and it takes them out of that routine. And just the process of petting the dog, your blood pressure goes down. And you know, all of us know we love huskies. They're just so lovable and so happy all the time. So of course they're going to de-stress you.
Now, for some folks considering taking their husky through a therapy dog training program, how are huskies as students?
Like, well, you and I know that not all huskies would be wonderful for this type of work. We love these dogs, but we also know sometimes they have husky attention deficit syndrome, so it is difficult sometimes to train a husky. Another reason why his sister probably will not become a therapy dog.
I'm thinking of my wolf. My wolf would not make a good. Yeah, he's not.
Right.
He'll do it once, lay down, and be like, "I'm done," and you wouldn't be able to move him. My son-in-law
Absolutely.
Jokes, he calls it hashtag husky logic, and he says you just have to go with it.
Absolutely. And you know that they're strong-willed, and they have a strong mind, and you need to convince them to do things. So, you know, you absolutely want a dog that has an aptitude for listening to you. They need to be able to settle down within about 2 minutes and just have someone pet them. So you don't want a dog that's going to be hyper and jumping all over the place. You also want a dog that is able to be coached. So the most important thing when going through the evaluation process is they take a look at whether you are able to coach the dog. So, for example, we had to walk Chili past a hot dog. Now, Chili is extremely food motivated, and for me to be able to walk him past the hot dog is a huge thing. But by able to coach him through that, he listened to me and didn't just like jump down and grab the hot dog, which I'm sure his sister would have done. So that's really the most important thing, that you're able to coach them through that.
Now, Chili became a bark therapy dog in 2012, I believe, right?
Yes.
Now, I understand to date he's the only Siberian Husky on the bark team. So how did you and Chili become part of the bark therapy dogs team?
So we heard about the program through the Element Owners Club, and when they when Josie was gifted that Honda Element to take more books to kids. And we thought, okay, well, let's go through this agility training. He did such a good job. And then we did agility one, and he did such a good job. So I thought, okay, let's do the evaluation. Currently, you do need to have a canine good citizen before you go to the evaluation, but at the time, they would actually test you for it at the same time. So he actually got his therapy dog certification and his canine good citizen at the same time. So there was an evaluation on the grounds of the VA in Long Beach, and there was about 25 different dogs there, and it was a couple-hour process because there were so many dogs, and you were grouped into groups. So your dog pretty much has to be good with other dogs, or at least coachable, you know, to behave themselves. And there's all these different things that they have you do, all of the regular canine good citizen testing things, and then also some additional therapy dog things where you have to walk the dog through a crowd of people who have medical equipment such as crutches and walkers and all sorts of things. Your dog will be ambushed by like 8 people who will start petting the dog, and they want to see how the dog reacts. So they want to make sure that the dog will behave themselves in a situation where you're in a hospital, school, nursing home. They need to, you know, they're incurring liability by sending us out to these places, and they want to make sure that dog can handle it.
Now, Chili is quite the inspirational husky himself. In addition to his work as a therapy dog, he's also faced a few challenges himself, as we stated in the intro, immune deficiencies and being a cancer survivor. Can you tell us about his battles and how is he doing with all that?
Absolutely. So one of the ways we socialized Chili in between therapy dog visits was he and his sister went to doggy daycare. And that kind of started because Frosty had crazy separation anxiety. And my husband and I worked full-time in an office, and there was no way we could keep her safe during the day without her having a human there. So we took them to doggy daycare. And one time he came back with a wart on his lip. We took him to the vet, and the vet did some testing, and it's just a regular, bacteria virus that any dog will be fine with, but if you have a compromised immune system, then you can catch something. And it turned out that his liver values were just sky high. So they sent us to a wonderful specialist here, Access Culver City. It's kind of I joke that it's better than any hospital in Los Angeles. It's just a wonderful state-of-the-art facility. So he had a wonderful specialist who tested his liver. He had surgery to take a little part out to see what his liver looked like. He had an ultrasound, and we found out that he had liver disease. So he was treated with all sorts of steroids and other things. He's on a liver cleansing diet, so he can't have large amounts of protein. It's more a moderate protein diet. While we were kind of working out his diet, he actually had a seizure because he could not process a large amount of protein. And then once we figured that out, we adjusted his diet. He was doing great. And then the night before I went into the hospital to have my daughter, we realized he had this lump that had just grown so big on the side. So I took him into the hospital to the vet that night, and they did a biopsy. Once they did the biopsy, just within the next few weeks, it grew so much bigger. So we took him into the specialist, and it turned out he had a tumor on his side, a tumor on his leg, a little tumor on his head. So he had surgery when my daughter was 5 weeks old. So I had a baby who was up every 3 hours, and I had Chili, who I had to drain his large incision every 3 hours as well. But, he's my baby too, so we had to make sure that he was in good health. But now he is. He's doing great.
Excellent. Now, you mentioned Chili actually picked out his sister, Frosty, through speed dating. And I have to tell you, I chuckled when you told me that. And he had speed dating with some available Siberian Husky girls at Husky Camp. And, the visual that I have, it's just, I'm sure our listeners are probably picturing the same thing. Can you briefly tell me about his adventure, and how did he select Frosty?
Sure, absolutely. So Husky Camp is kind of now retired, but at the time they had a large amount of dogs available on a Sunday to take a look at and to make sure if they matched your family. So I think it's important that you pick a dog that really, will get along with your other dog, and to see how they react to the other dog. And after doing a proper introduction, you take them for a walk and you spend a little bit of time with them, perhaps on the grass, and see how they do. So that's what we did. So we picked out a number of different dogs that day, and we did a little bit of speed dating. So we went on a long sniffy walk with them and spent some time on the grass. And we had picked out a dog that we thought would be a great fit. And we even picked out a name, Cinnamon, fit with the spice theme with Chili. And unfortunately, they hated each other.
Oh, thank you.
Right. And there was this amazing Malamute, red Malamute they had as well. And I was just picturing in my head having this wonderful large Malamute. Mm-hmm. They're the same color. And they hated each other. just as much as you or I might meet somebody and we're put off by them a little bit,
right,
you always
right.
have to make sure that the dogs get along. So he got along with Frosty at the time, and there was also this little white puppy about maybe 6 or 9 months old that he got along with. And we decided, once again, that puppies were not for us. It's a lot of work. So we selected Frosty. And then as soon as we put him in the truck, and then tried to get Frosty to jump in the truck, he was like, wait a minute, you tricked me. We're taking her home? I thought I just had to be nice to her here. He was so upset. So we finally got
him in the truck.
He
thought that was just a date.
He thought it was just a date. He's like, we're taking her home. I don't understand. He howled all the way home. And the first month was extremely difficult. He was very territorial. There was a lot of fights that first month. Our doggy daycare was invaluable in that sense, and in that they really helped us understand the situation, and we learned so much about dog behavior and multi-dog packs at that time, and I still use all of that information every day. So a big shout-out to Karen at Eco Dog Doggy Daycare and Dog Wash here in Los Angeles on Pico, because she has years of experience, and she has just such a calm nature, and she reminded my husband, you know, there's always sibling rivalry. It's going to calm down. They're going to fight, but then the fights will get less frequent, and eventually they'll go away, and that's exactly what happened.
So it's great to actually point out here that this is such a great way of introducing and socializing a current dog with a potential new dog to the family. You know, you were talking about, like, the benefits of Chili going out to meet these girls. And how can this help others who are thinking of adding a side to their family as far as, not that there's a, well, there is a wrong way, but not that there's a right way, but maybe the best way for them.
Yeah, there's an easier way, and I always tell adopters this. You could do it the easy way, or you could do it the hard way. And based on my experience, I really, really encourage fostering. We went through a lot with Frosty. We incurred a lot of heartache, a lot of cost, a lot of fighting between, you know, the family, just because it was so stressful. But I am extremely stubborn, so we made it work. But you don't have to go through that struggle. I absolutely encourage someone to foster or to do a trial adoption and see how it works out, because not everybody had the free time we had at the time. We didn't have kids. Mm-hmm. You know, we had the extra income to incur that cost in terms of fencing and keeping them separate and taking them to daycare, which not everybody can afford. So absolutely, do it the easy way and introduce your dog to the other dog. See if you could do a trial adoption or a foster to adopt, and it's going to be so much easier on your family. And don't feel bad if it doesn't work out. You know, it's an awesome dog, but it may not be the dog for you or your family. And there's plenty of other Huskies out there that would love to join your family.
That's really great advice. And I can't believe how fast our hour's flying by. We have 10 minutes left, and I just want to let our listeners know who are just tuning in. This is the Side Vibe on Dog Works Radio, and we're talking with Samira Majoub Tapia, mom to two rescue Siberian Huskies, Chili and Frosty, both from the Husky Camp Rescue. Chili is also now a registered therapy dog and a member of the BARC, Beach Animals Reading with Kids Therapy Dogs. And you can follow Samira's adventures and her rescue work at twodogfarms.com and theartofhouses.com, and check out the beautiful Huskies at huskycamp.com. For more information on BARC, you can check out their website at barkdogs.org and follow them over on Facebook and Twitter under Bark Reading Dogs. Links to these sites are also listed on our show's website, dogworksradio.com/the-side-vibe, and will be coming up soon in a blog post over on 5sides.blogspot.com. And, of course, I always share everything over on our Facebook page, which is 5 Sides Siberian Husky Canine News and Reviews. And you can always catch both Robert and I, or if you have a question, shoot us a tweet, and that we are both on Twitter at Dog Works Radio and 5 Sides Mom. So, Samira, speaking of family, you have a gorgeous little girl. And
yeah.
How do Chili and Frosty and your daughter all get along?
So I didn't really have any concerns about Chili because he's so great with kids. And I had some concerns with Frosty because we were her third home, and she had extreme separation anxiety. She also didn't seem to be very socialized. She was kind of afraid of a lot of things, you know, the broom, the vacuum, the space heater, our very quiet washing machine. So it took a while to socialize her to all of that. And Chili really helped her because he didn't react, and she realized, oh, I don't have to react. But we knew that she had some skittish tendencies, and she tended to react sometimes a little negatively to things. So what we did was We actually got a doll, and we carried the doll around and kind of we trained them to the situation. We played crying baby noises. We had all the equipment around. We had the playpen. We had the stroller. We had the crib. We had all the baby items around to get them used to that. We also set the ground rules. So I think it's important for adopters to all and anybody who has a dog to set ground rules with your dog. We use the Nothing in Life is Free technique. So NILIF, we make sure that the dogs have to work for everything and that they understand that we're consistent, that we have rules and that we're the leaders. And, you know, if you want me to pet you, I'm going to ask you to give me paw so you understand that I'm in charge. So we made sure that they understood the rules of the house, and we were very, very consistent.
That's really great because, I'm going to be expecting a baby in our household in November with my daughter. So I know many, many, people write in and ask, and that's one of the things they always want to know if there's any tips to share about the arrival of a baby and how to prepare the dogs.
Absolutely. And you know, you can never predict what a dog is going to do, and I always say set them up for success. And I try to do that with every, adopter. I tell them set them up for success. So make sure that you have some baby gates where you can have the dogs be part of your family, but also give you that space that you need. Even as amazing as Chili is, he was very, very, very insistent on nudging his sister and smelling her and getting right beside her and understanding what she is. So as trained as he is, even he was extremely insistent. And as a new mom, you are just exhausted. You have crazy hormones coursing through you. You have these instincts to protect your baby, and it's more stressful than it needs to be. So set your household up for success. Have those boundaries with those dogs. Teach them about all that ahead of time. So set up those gates ahead of time. You don't want anything to be new once the baby comes, other than the baby. If the baby's room is going to be off limits, practice that before you have the baby. So we always like to set people up for success. And we did that with our dogs.
Great. And, you know, you may be getting some messages from me come November.
Absolutely.
For some extra help. You know, these guys have met children of all ages before, and I always call it the 5-minute freak out. They go so excited for the first five minutes, and then the kids are laying on stepping over them because then they're like, okay, you know, they're so relaxed about it. But I do know Harley, she's our alpha. I don't know if it plays into that because this is another addition that comes into the home, but she's in there sniffing them. She's got to be right there by them all the time. So, we have to learn to tell her it's okay. She doesn't have to be on all the time. So I can see that
right. It's
an area we'll have to work with.
Absolutely. And I think it's a little bit different when the baby's part of your pack than you meeting children somewhere not in your home or children coming as a visitor. They really did react differently than when we had children visiting the house. And Chili absolutely feels like she was part of the pack. And at one point, he kind of reprimanded her through growling when she was walking around. And we're always there right beside them. So one of us is always supervising. Unless I can have my eye on the dog and the kid, that they are not together, and we make sure that there's a baby gate between them or, you know, two baby gates between them so the kid can't put their little hand in between and do something. So we want to set them up for success. We want to make sure that, you know, a baby and a toddler don't understand about pulling ears and pulling fur. And so one of the things we taught the baby early on is, hey, when you see the dogs, wave at the dog so that she doesn't always want to have her hands in her fur. So it's a way for her to interact with the dogs without it being a problem. And then
what
we also taught the dogs.
Tip.
It made our lives so much easier. So she could get excited about the dogs and not whine to touch them all the time, which
sure.
is nice.
I am definitely going to use that one here. So I'm thanking you in advance because that's an excellent tip because they do get
You're
excited
welcome.
When they see them, and what a great way to do it. So I guess we're winding down, and I can't believe it's gone so fast. It's been such a great hour with you. I just wanted to check in with you. You know, a lot of folks worry about not giving proper exercise to their Siberian, especially if they're a busy working family, and you're an exact example of that. Can you share tips on how you make this work for both, you know, the Huskies and the humans?
Yeah, absolutely. If you're a new family, you know they're not going to get the exercise they need the first couple of months. Try to set up some walks with some family members and friends who also understand that your dogs may be runaways, and to be very careful with them, and maybe take them for some walks to train the family on how to walk your dogs. And then also we walk with our baby all the time. And one great thing for new parents is to use a baby carrier, such as an ergo, instead of a stroller, because it's going to be that much easier to have your equilibrium, and you don't have the giant stroller and then a bunch of leashes. It's a lot easier to use the baby carrier. So right now, she'll be up on my husband's shoulders on his back because she's older, and she loves being able to see out and walk and see the dogs walk. And she absolutely loves dogs wherever we go. She's like, oh, my God, there's a doggy.
Oh, that's great. So with the new school year now in full and swing, what's up next for Chili?
So Chili and I have another year of library visits that we're going to be doing. After I had my daughter, it's a little hard for me to sit for the hours that we need to at the school, so we're taking a little bit of a break. That's his little dog maternity leave. He's going to be helping me out with my real estate work as well. He loves to meet new people. I love to matchmake people with dogs on the rescue side, so I'm matchmaking people with houses on the real estate side, and it's a great icebreaker for people to talk about Chili and his work, because parents always ask me about the school system. So being able to volunteer within the school system, I can kind of give them the information that they need to make a decision about where they're going to live next. So Chili, and then he loves meeting new people as well. So sometimes I'll set up some visits for him. So he's super excited about the new school year, and we love meeting new kids.
Oh, that's excellent. It's the best of both worlds there. Robert, you have anything to add before we say goodbye to Samira?
You know, I do. Samira, listening to you over the last hour and being a dog trainer for well over 20 years, it was refreshing to hear somebody that absolutely gets it. And that is so awesome. You are a dog trainer in the making. You know everything you're supposed to do.
Thank you so much, and it's so wonderful to hear. It's all about going through those experiences, educating myself about dog behavior, and having a ton of foster dogs, and really working through it and understanding what works and what doesn't. So the nothing in life is free thing, we tell adopters, that is your quick tip of how to make your life so much easier. And our foster dogs fall into line with about a week. They learn all the commands. They understand that I'm in charge, and it makes our lives so much easier. So absolutely. There's more dog tips on twodogfarms.com and on our Facebook page. And we like to make people's lives easier, because we've been there, and we've had those evenings when you're wondering if it's too early for a cocktail because you've had a really bad day with the dogs fighting each other. So we've been there, and we understand, and we know how to make it easier for you.
You are awesome. Thanks for joining us. I really appreciate your tips.
Yeah, it's been great, Samira. It's so much fun having you on, and we'll definitely be in touch.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your time. I love you guys, and keep doing the amazing things you're doing.
Thank you. And be sure to give Chili and Frosty big hugs from us.
I will. He's here looking at us. He says woo-woo to everybody.
Well, these guys are sitting right here with me, too, and they say woo back.
Awesome.
Very good. Well, very good, guys. Dorothy, very quickly, do you have any info for our October show, or is it still a little early yet?
No, actually, we'll be talking to the folks from Husky House from New Jersey. They came up to the book signing and the meet and greet with Buddy that we had here last month, and they'll be our guests. They'll be talking all about their rescue.
Excellent stuff. So thank you guys very much for joining us today. On behalf of my co-host, Dorothy Wills-Raspberry, this is The Side Vibe. We'll see you guys next time. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.